From the book of Philippians, chapter 1, beginning at verse 19. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you, and having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all, with y'all, I think he was from Georgia sometime, y'all, for your furtherance and joy of faith. I noticed that Paul said, I am in a strait betwixt two. Amen. Having a desire to part, amen, he knew it'd be better for him to go. Yes, he did. He knew that, amen. He knew it'd be better to go home. He said to die is gain. Amen. But, amen, he realized, amen, that he was still needed here. Amen. Come on, church. Amen. I know you don't know where I'm going yet, but I'll get there. Amen. Just give me a little time. Amen. And yet he said, I don't know what to choose, which way to go. Apparently, God gave Paul, amen, the choice here, and here he chooses to stay. Okay? Amen. Because he said to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. So for your sake, I'm going to choose to stay here. Amen. But when we turn to 2 Timothy, things have changed. Amen. In Timothy, amen, Paul says, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all of them also that love his appearing. Now Paul is saying, the time of my departure is at hand. Amen. And now he states that he's finished his course and he's ready to be offered up. Amen. I think Paul has seen something here that he'd never seen before. Amen. Thank God, I feel like he caught a glimpse, amen, of the home stretch. Come on, church. Now, y'all being from Kentucky, y'all know what the home stretch is. Home stretch is the distance between the last curve and the finish line. And Paul somehow had caught a hold of that. Amen. Now, I've never been to a horse race. I don't know anything about them. Amen. Not too much anyway. Just what you read in paper once in a while. Amen. But my sister went. She went to Lexington, Kentucky. And I believe it was the Kentucky Derby that she went to. And she was telling me about it. And she said, Leon, when they left the starting gate, amen, they was a fighting and maneuvering and trying to get in a position closest to the rail, I think it is, the shortest distance around the track, amen. They went through the first curve, there's still a fighting, amen, and still a shoving and still a beating and still a going on, and around the second and down the back stretching around the third curve and around the fourth curve, amen. But she said when they come around that last curve and headed to the finish line, every one of them put everything they had into getting to the finish line. finish line. Everything that they had, they done their best to get to the finish line. Well, I feel like, church, that you and I had better realize, amen, that we ain't got too much farther to go. In fact, I feel like we've come around the fourth curve and we're at the home stretch. Amen. In fact, while we're still in Georgia, amen, one night I woke up, my spirit was troubled. I got up and went to my office and was sitting there praying in the night, and I felt the Spirit of God come in the room, and I heard that still small voice say to me, "Son, it is the home stretch." Brother Rocky, I didn't know what he's talking about. I didn't know what the home stretch was. I had to look it up in the dictionary, and that's what the dictionary said. The distance between the last curve and the finish line. Amen. Now, the Bible tells us in the book of Thessalonians, and I believe Brother Carpenter read this the other day in the morning. Amen. "Now we beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him, that you be not soon shaken in mind nor be troubled, neither by a spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." Amen. I noticed that he said, amen, that day should not come. Huh? Should not come. Amen. Except, amen, there come a falling away first. Amen. I'm persuaded that this falling away is the fourth curve in this race that we're racing tonight. Amen. Amen. The Bible says in the book of Revelations, amen, chapter 12, amen, "Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knoweth he hath but a short time." Would to God that we knew as much as the devil did about the shortness of time that's left in this race to us tonight. Come on, church. "And I heard the word of God say, and the dragon was wroth, amen, with the woman, amen, and went to make war with the remnants of her seed, amen, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And I heard the writer say, the lion is come up from his thicket, amen, and the destroyer of the Gentiles is on his way," amen. I can't tell you how short the time is, but I feel like I can tell you that we're in the home stretch tonight. Amen. I feel like this falling away, this great apostasy that's coming among us in the house of God today, falling away from the truths of God, amen, has brought us around that last curve, and now we're in the home stretch, and it ain't lying too far out there. Woo! Oh, God, help us. Paul said, amen, in the book of Hebrews. He wrote Hebrews. Amen. I've heard Lot say he did. Sound like he did. Amen. Amen. But first he said to us, "But ye are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief." Surely tonight, amen, if you're a praying child of God, surely you can feel in your spirit that things is about to wind up. Come on, church. I can see the finish line out there just a little ways down the road tonight. Can you? Come on now. Amen. I don't feel that I'm talking to a bunch of ignorant people. I feel like it's just like the Spirit said to me. It's been about 2 years ago now since He spoke to me and said, "Son, it is the home stretch." Amen. I tell people the Lord talks to me. He does speak to me. Amen. He has to, because I can't figure it out on my own. Huh? Come on, church. Amen. But Paul said in the book of Hebrews, amen, the 10th chapter, now this is all familiar scripture, I know, amen. But he said, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, and let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see that day approaching. Huh? Come on, church. Amen. Come on now. Amen. Sweet Lamb of God. Amen. Paul is telling us some things that we need to do. Amen. When we see that day approaching. And I feel like it's just over the horizon. Amen. I'm not no great, whatever you want to call it. Amen. But I've got enough sense to know that when the Spirit of God moves on my heart and deals with my soul, that it's time, amen, to lay aside some things and get down to business and put everything that I've got into this last part of the race, the home stretch. Sweet Lamb of God, then that's the thing that we must do. I notice that the first thing that Paul said, amen, to them here in Hebrews, was let us draw near with a true heart. With a true heart, amen. I want to tell you something. A half-hearted effort on the home stretch ain't going to get you there. Come on now. Come on now. And we're looking at a church world that hasn't got their heart into this thing. I said we've got a church world that does not have their heart in this thing tonight. I want you to listen to this. Amen. In the book of Mark, amen, the Bible says, and one of the scribes came, having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he'd answered them well, and asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered him, the first of all commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. The second is like this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than thee. The scribe said unto him, well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, there's none other but He, and to love Him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love His neighbor as Himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God, and no man after that durst ask him any question. Amen. I want us to get a hold of this, because here's a man, amen, that's got a lot of knowledge. Come on, church. He knows that there's no other commandment greater than to love the Lord God with everything that's within you. Your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole strength, your whole soul, everything you got. He knows that. But Jesus still says to him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Now that's strange. You'd think with that much knowledge, he'd be right smack dab in the middle of it. And he probably thought he was. But the Son of God said to him, you're not far from it. In other words, you still ain't in it. Although you got all that head knowledge, you still don't know. You're still not in it. Would you like to know how far he was from the kingdom of God? I'll tell you, down to the exact inch how far he was away from it. 18 inches. Because that's the average distance between a man's brain and his heart. Come on, church. He had it up here, but it wasn't down here. Come on. And we're looking at a church world that's got it up here. They know all about the standards of holiness. They know everything about it. They know how to dress, how to act, doesn't never come from their heart. Their heart is not involved. Don't look at me that way. I'm telling you tonight that folks had better get their heart into this thing if they want to make it to God's good heaven. Amen. You'll never get there with head knowledge. You'll have to have it in your heart if you make it. They're just like King Amaziah. You remember him? Amen. Well, if you haven't read the Old Testament, you wouldn't know what I'm talking about. Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jehoadan of Jerusalem. Listen, and the Bible said, and he done that. Let me read it right. He did that, which was right in the sight of the Lord. But not with a perfect heart. Come on, church. Are you hearing this? He done that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Come on now. He was following all the forms. He was adhering to all the standards of holiness. Amen. Come on now. He had a good haircut on him, Brother Matt. His sleeves weren't short. Come on. He wasn't wearing any jewelry. Come on. He didn't have his hair all frizzed up. Come on. Come on. Come on. He didn't have no TV. Hello. He didn't have no homosexual tendencies. He wasn't flirting. He wasn't doing anything. He was doing that which was right. He was doing that which was right in the sight of God. In other words, anybody looking at him would have thought, here's somebody that really must love the Lord. But you see, God looked beyond all that facade. Huh? I said he looked beyond all that facade, looked all beyond that, looking at the heart, he seen that his heart was not with God. Come on, church. You know, we've got him in the house of God. They can put on a pretty good show. I told the church some years ago, and I don't know if I'll get to preach it, maybe not this trip, I don't know when I'll preach it again, but I told them, I said, you know, we've got to the place that the only manifestation of the Spirit that we think is manifestation of the Spirit is shouting and dancing and running the aisles and speaking in tongues. Did you know the devil can do all them and probably do them better than you can? Woo! Preach, Brother Buzzard! Huh? Come on now. I said, what I'd like to see is some other manifestations of the Spirit. Now you're looking at me funny. What are you talking about, Buzzard? I said, well, the Bible said Simeon went by the Spirit of the Lord up to the temple. I said, did you know going to church is a manifestation of the Spirit? Come on. You've got trouble going to the house of God. You ain't got the right spirit. I'll tell you that right now. Woo! Well, I better get off that. I see that right now, amen. I see that. I'm not against shouting and dancing and running and all that, but it kind of bothers me that people that do the most of it ain't there half the time. Come on, church. Come on, come on, come on. Here he is. He's got everything. He's doing that which is right in the sight of the Lord, but God looked beyond that, and he had the writer of the Bible write down, but not with a perfect heart, because God knows your heart tonight. He knows whether you got your heart in this thing or not. Woo! I said he knows whether we got our heart in this thing or not. Praise God. Amen. I had a preacher tell me, he said, well, I guess you won't be preaching as much as you used to. And I looked at him and I said, if I can do what's in my heart, hey man, I'll preach more than I used to and harder than I used to. That's right. Hey man, Brother Matt Worrell, when we was leaving that hospital on this prosthesis, we walked down the high, walked down that long hallway out toward the front gate. Sweet Lamb of God, tears running down my cheeks, tears running down the wife's cheeks. I said, go ahead and get the car and get down there and I'll be there in just a little bit. Hey man. And I come out the door and I said, here I come, devil, look out. Come on, church! Are you going to get your heart in this thing or not? Amen. You're going to lose the race if we don't get our heart into it. Woo! God help us. Amen. Ezekiel said, "And also thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, everyone to his brother, saying, Come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord." Listen, the Bible said, "And they come as the people come, and they sit before thee as my people." Oh God, help us, amen. "And they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they shew much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness." Amen. And the Bible says, "Wherefore the Lord said, For as much as this people draweth near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me." Here's a whole group of people. Not just one man, but here's a whole group of people saying, "Let's go to church and see what God's going to say." And they come to church as the people cometh. And they sit before thee as my people.
Come on.
"And they hear your words, but they will not do them." Why? Because their heart's not in it. You'll never be able to adhere to holiness preaching until you get your heart into this thing, church. You never will. Amen. Feel, amen, that anointing that the preacher preaches as he preaches the standards of holiness and the way that God wants us to live until you get your heart in it. And when you get your heart in it, you'll stand up with him and you'll shout at him, "Preach on, preacher, preach on. Tell us more. Tell us more. Show us more. I want to know more. I want to know more. My God in heaven, I want my heart in this thing tonight." Amen. God looks beyond all the words. God looks beyond all the forms. And He weighs the heart. And He ponders the spirit. He knows whether our heart's in it or not. And I'd like to give Him everything that I've got. Woo! Amen. 2 Peter, amen, writes in the second book of Peter, Peter writes, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before," listen, "beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." When I looked at this, amen, the Lord was dealing with me to preach about it, the error of the wicked, I thought that He was talking about sin. But the Lord showed me in the Word of God, and you can look at it, I can get them for you if you want me to, amen, that the wicked do not sin by error. The Bible said the wicked love evil. They desire the net of evil. That's what the Bible said. I said, "Well, Lord, what is the error of the wicked?" Listen, the Bible said, "And I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone," amen, "from the place of the holy." Amen. And he said, "I seen them buried. Brother Matt, they came to the house of God and they walked out of the house of God and they were not stirred. They were not moved. Amen. It done nothing for them or nothing to them." And Peter said, "Beware lest ye also, being led away by the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." Come on, church. I'm telling you, if you don't get your heart in this thing, it won't be long until you'll be out the door and you won't have the Spirit of God anymore. If you're not going to give Him your heart, you're going to be in trouble with God. Come on now. I think it's hypocrisy to say amen and hallelujah and glory to God if your heart ain't in it. Come on now. Come on now. I said, come on now. Come on, church. Come on, amen. Sweet Lamb of God. Woo! Amen. You say, well, Brother Leon, do you always feel the Spirit when you say that? No. No, no, but I can say I got my heart in it. Huh? I can say I got my heart in it. Amen. I'm going to tell you right now, there's been times, amen, when I came to the house of God with a headache. Amen. My head was a hurting. Amen. Amen. Sister Jerry, I felt more like crawling in bed than I did going to church. Amen. But old Ralph Cox said, as long as bear makes aspirin, I'm not staying home for a headache. Look out, buzzard. Look out, look out, look out. Amen. I've gotten the pulpit more than one time, hurting and carrying on. I couldn't hardly stand it. Didn't think I could make it, but went ahead and started. And pretty soon the anointing came, and woo, I done better than I thought I was going to. Come on, church. If we got our heart in it, God's going to help us. I said, God's going to help us. I said He's going to help us if He can see that our heart is in it. I want Him to see that my heart is in it. Amen. Amen. If your heart's in it, it makes all the difference to God. If He sees your heart, He's in it. Amen. But I'm seeing folks who are not wicked. They're really not wicked. Amen. They dress right and they attend church. Amen. But they have never put their hearts into this way. They've never... You know, the Bible tells us about people who did not receive the love of the truth. That God would send them a strong delusion. They might believe a lie. They might be damned. Huh? Huh? You know, I don't think God is impressed by reluctant holiness. I don't dress this way because I have to. I dress this way because I want to. Please God. I remember when I was seeking the Holy Ghost, shortly before I turned 13, amen, and I was seeking the Holy Ghost, and I was doing everything they told me to do, amen. Sister Peggy, I'd done everything they told me to do. They'd say hallelujah real fast. And I'd hallelujah, 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 till my tongue got tart, and they'd say, oh, he's getting it. No, I wasn't. I was about to run out of gas. Amen, 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 amen. I didn't get it either. Amen. They beat on my back, spit in my face. Amen. They tell me, hang on, hang on, hang on. I'd try hanging on to somebody hollering the other ear. Turn loose, turn loose, turn loose. I didn't know what to do. Amen. Well, my daddy said, you're not getting the Holy Ghost. And I said, no, daddy, I'm not. And I don't know why I'm doing everything they're telling me to do. He said, maybe you ought to ask the Lord what to do. Hello? 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 Come on, church. And I'm just 12 years old and I didn't know any better than just go ask God, why ain't I getting it? Well, Sister Jerry, amen. When I was a boy at home, I had to wash dishes. I had to take my turn. I hate to do dishes. I told Mama, Mama, I shouldn't have to do dishes. I'm a man and men ain't supposed to do dishes. She said, you're a long ways from being a man, too. Sure popped my bubble. But anyway, I went to the Lord and I asked Him, Lord, why can't I get the Holy Ghost? You all out there, you're getting quiet on me here. I do dishes all right. It'd take me an hour and a half, 2 hours to do them. Have to change dishwater two or three times. Sometimes Mama say these plates are greasy. To go back and start again. Once in a while, Daddy'd get tired of that, coming here at the belt, said, you need a little help tonight, I think. We got done pretty good when he was in there. But the Lord spoke to me, whether you believe He did or not, 12 years old, and He said, I don't like your attitude about doing what your mama wants you to do.
And I said, Lord, my attitude? Yes, your attitude. So I said, all right, I'm gonna put my heart into this thing. I mean, the next time it's my turn to do dishes, I was up and had them off, had the place gathered up nearly before they got through eating. Amen. Had them in the dish. Well, I was done in less than a half hour. And when you wash dishes for Mama, you didn't just wash the dishes, you washed the pots and the pans, you washed the stove, you washed the refrigerator, all the cabinets, and mopped the kitchen floor. That's right. That's how you done dishes for Mama. Amen. Sister Jerry, I looked up, Mama was standing there, and big old tears were running down her cheek. It wasn't long till I got the Holy Ghost. I found out then, if I put my heart into this thing, that God will help me. Woo! Amen. Sweet Lamb of God, He called me to preach. Amen. Just before I was 13 years old, and I tried it. Amen. I just couldn't hardly do it at all. It seemed like stuttered and stammered. Amen. Daddy said, are you sure you're called to preach? Pastor asked me, are you sure you're called to preach? All I knew was this, the burning in my heart. Amen. And Dad said, well, I'll help you. You tell me what you're going to preach on, and I'll lay the outline for you. That didn't work. That didn't work no good. Amen. He said, well, you need to go to school and learn public speaking. Amen. So I took public speaking in high school, learned how to make speeches of 5 and 10 and 12, 15, 25 minutes long on frogs, hogs, cars, anything you want to name. Learned how to do that. But it didn't work in the pulpit. I said it didn't work in the pulpit. Amen. I finally just had to throw myself on the altar and say, God, if you call me to preach, you're going to have to do it because I can't seem to get it done. Sweet Lamb of God, He set my soul on fire. Amen. And the flame may have flickered, but the fire has never gone out. Amen. I want you to know, church, if we'll get our heart into this thing, God will help us. Amen. Amen. I'd like for the devil to know tonight, amen, that ain't going to do him no good try to talk me out of this thing. I done got too much into it. Amen. Amen. I'd often heard somebody say, often said, don't never put all your eggs in one basket. Well, you're looking at a fool that's done it. I put all my eggs in this one basket, living for God. Oh, brother, hey man, brother, man, world, it's paid off, amen. I said, it's paid off, amen. Sweet Lamb of God, amen. I said, it's paid off. I remember the night we took my little boy, my oldest boy, to church. Just he wasn't even two, was he yet, or right at two, somewhere along there. He just had the measles, and we'd had him at home. And we thought he was over him. I guess we took him out too soon, I don't know. But he was in church and he went into convulsions and he died. He quit breathing. For about 30 minutes he turned just as black as he could be. Hey man, I was over in a corner weeping and crying and old brother Lunsford was walking the platform back and forth with my child. Hey man, pretty soon he come by and he said, Brother Leon, look at this. And I looked and that boy was breathing again. It's paid off. I said, it's paid off! I said, it's paid off! Put your whole heart in it! You'll never be sorry that you put your whole heart, mind, soul, everything you got into serving God. You'll never be sorry! Amen, if you'll give Him your whole heart. It's half-heartedness that's got folks into trouble. Amen. The Bible said, and now, ye priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear and you will not lay it to heart, to give glory to my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already because you do not lay it to heart. Amen. From the pulpit to the pews of the churches in America, we're seeing half-heartedness. Amen. I read when I was in high school about the prince sent an ambassador over here to try to find out why America was so great.
This was during the days of Lincoln. And he came over and they took him and they showed him all the machinery and all that up in the north. Then they took him in the south and showed him the cotton fields, Alabama and Georgia and the agriculture. And then they took him out west and showed him the resources, the mines and all of that. And he came back, amen, to Washington, D.C. And on a Sunday, President Lincoln invited him to go to church with him. Now, I don't know what Lincoln went to church, but I know that Lincoln said, "I like my preacher preaching from the pulpit like he's fighting waspers." I thought he must have been a little holiness. Must have been a little bit of holiness anyway. Amen. And they said, as that man stood up there and preached holiness doctrine, how you ought to live and pay your bills, and you know how his holiness preached. When he got back to France, he told the emperor, he said, "America is great because of her pulpits. And as long as America has men that will preach like that man preached the Sunday morning I was there, America will always be great. But when the pulpit, amen, no longer preaches holiness and no longer preaches righteousness, it will lose its greatness." And here we are, amen, with a bunch of preachers, amen, that's got their wallet in it, but not their heart. I said, not their heart. They're in it for the money, they're in it for one thing and another, but their heart is not in it. Praise God. Amen. Well, I'm preaching too long probably. Amen. Here we are in the home stretch. Very last part. Amen. And people are just half-heartedly trying. Amen. The Bible said, "Not with thy service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart." And Paul said, "Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, and not unto men." And let me say along with Paul, "And so much the more as you see that day approaching." If there's ever a time you're going to put your heart into this thing, I feel like it's now. It's now. Amen. You know the devil's doing his best to try to get us to quit, slow down, and everything else. Trying to let up on the standards of holiness. Trying to, amen. The message today is to get along with everybody. To please everybody so everybody will feel at home in the house of God. I want to tell you something. If we get the right spirit moving in the house of God, you won't have to worry about sinners being uncomfortable. You know, my youngest brother was called to preach when he was a teenager. And somehow the devil tricked him into believing that daddy was making him be a Christian. And he told daddy at the age of 15 or 16, he said, "You can't make me be a Christian." And daddy said, "I'm not trying to make you be a Christian." And he felt like he will. You know how the devil is. And he backslid. And he's been away from God now all these years. And I thought he was beyond help. But you know, when we buried my daddy, my youngest brother said, "Leon, don't ever change." He said to me, "You've got far much more than I'll ever have." And I said, "Wayne, you can have the same thing." But he's too caught up in life. Feels like he is. And all I done was just give the Lord my heart. And I ain't trying to get it back neither. Amen. In fact, that preacher told me one time, he said, "You know what to do, Brother Leon?" And he said, "What?" He said, "Just take your heart and throw it on the other side of the finish line, then catch up with it."
What great advice, what great counsel to them.